That's not him.
Okay,
all right. Let's call to order. Planning and Zoning Commission meeting June 11th, 2019. Can I hear a motion to approve or any changes to the agenda? Everyone has the agenda in front of them.
I'll move to approve.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
All right.
All right, and how do we do the minutes for the last meeting? Since really Pekka was the only one that was here, because it was Pekka, George, and Neil.
Right.
And
all right.
I have no idea.
All right. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes for the last meeting?
I can move.
Do I hear a second? Move.
Yeah, I guess I'll second if that's technically possible.
All in favor? I know. We'll approve them. I went through them. Election of officers. We can put that off, right, until... Who'd you say? It's Rand that's been nominated?
Yes, he's been nominated.
He's also president of BLHA, isn't he?
Yes, right. Till the end of this year. And okay. He intends to step down at the end of the year.
Okay, here comes George. He's walking up.
He's interim, correct? Until the end of the year, is that what you said, Pat?
Pat, did you say Rand is, he's just got 1 year as the president?
Well, he has expressed his intent to step down, having been nominated to serve on the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Oh, I see. Okay.
He will complete this year and then step down.
Okay. All right.
Did you see Angelina Jolie out there?
I saw some.
I know, you're like, I'm out.
Fat short guy, was that her?
No, that would be me.
All right, George, we are at election of officers, and I am suggesting somebody make a motion. Well, although now you're here, that was before you were here. I don't know if we want to put that off. Well, all we had to do was...
Okay.
How about some discussion about whether we should elect officers now or wait until Rand or somebody else gets appointed? Not that I don't think it's going to matter.
I was going to say, in theory, we should probably wait until Rand. As a practical matter, the answer will be the same one way or the other. Congratulations.
But we're going to need a vice chair again, so...
So you want to wait for Rand?
I propose we wait for Rand.
Yeah, we can do that, and that way we'll include him in the... Okay, do I hear a motion to put that off?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, Pat, we've agreed to defer the election of officers.
Okay.
Old business. Anyone? Anything? Bueller?
I can't remember.
I know, it's been so long. This is our semi-annual meeting. All right, new business. Variance 19-01 for 105 Ridge Road. Applicant owner Anthony Weaver requests relief from section 78197, section 5, I guess that is, part 5, to reduce the building setback along the street in the R100 district from 65 feet to 61.5 feet to construct exterior decks and stairs on a non-conforming structure. So I had forgotten, Robin, that I don't know if you're familiar with any of this stuff as far as administrative variances and stuff. Mm-hmm. I had forgotten that I can do just an administrative variance.
That was going to be my very first question.
Yeah, because normally that being within 10%, if the structure were already conforming, you could have applied for an administrative variance, and I could have gone out.
To a non-conforming structure.
Well, or if the addition itself were conforming, you could do that. But since the structure is non-conforming and the addition is non-conforming, it can't be administrative.
Because it was already non-conforming, and then we're asking for a non-conforming addition, it's not eligible for an administrative variance.
Yeah.
You spent the money correctly.
Right.
Yeah, she did. Yes. Yeah. So would you guys, would somebody like to step up, and do you have anything you would like to add to what, we've got quite a bit of information already?
Yeah, I've submitted, I think, a lot of the drawings.
Would you just, for the record, just identify yourself and your address, please?
Yeah, my name is Anthony Weaver, 105 Ridge Road, Berkeley Lake, Georgia, 30096. So we're just looking, we had an engineer come out and try to design decks and stairs, and they came up with so many different designs, and the stairs just looked funky and were going to get expensive, and all we really had to do was stay it within our building already. So this won't exceed our house at all. It stays within the original structure size. It's just we needed 4 feet for the steps to actually land. Or we were going to have to do these box steps that kind of, it was really too much. And so because of that lot we have, it was just impossible almost without another $10,000. So if we can get that 4 feet, we'll stay right on the corner there, and that's where the stairs will land and exit to the driveway there. But the decks themselves actually don't go into the variance.
I had forgotten that, because this is only going to pertain to corner lots in the city, that you have to be 65 feet from all city streets. Mm-hmm. Is that the way the ordinance is written?
Yeah, so you're not, so whatever is on this other street, you're not in front of it.
It's a bear, because it just squeezes you.
And in this case, it's also a curving street.
Yeah.
It's very hard.
So that's...
We really had a guy, we had a design firm and a structural engineer try everything they could to stay within. And as you know, I've talked to you many times, and it just wasn't possible. I said, let's just go for the variance.
Okay.
So that's it.
Any questions for Mr. Weaver right now? Anyone?
No, I think it was quite
comments?
Clear.
Motions?
Just a comment, mostly for
Robin,
thank you.
Thank you.
I would spend a fair amount of time opining on why this should be or shouldn't be, so that it's covered, you know, documented why we approved this variance over that variance, because each issue is very unique in its own right. Those. Some might use the word precedent. We try to avoid that because it's very challenging. In this particular case, like all the other cases, it's challenging because it's a semicircular lot. Mm-hmm. It's already got a non-conforming structure. There's no other real visual impact to this. So this almost fits in reasons, the standards for approval, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, such conditions are peculiar to a particular piece of property involved. Such conditions are not really the result of any action of the property owner. Oh, I do have one question. You bought it that way. You haven't changed, and you didn't screen in the porch. So because of this, as a lengthy prologue to motion to approve the reduction in setback as identified in item one here.
Mm-hmm. Do I hear a second or additional comments?
Well, I drove by that, and I think, you know, it obviously doesn't obstruct anything, but as George was saying, that should not be the only reason that we have to consider, also that there will be other cases forward. But given what you just said, I certainly second this.
Anything you want to add?
I drove by the property as well, and I read the statute, and I would agree with you that, I mean, I get that this is based on the size of the property and the way that the property is laid out. Yeah. It doesn't seem like there's any other.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second to approve the variance as requested. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. It's unanimous.
You're welcome.
You're going to invite us to the party, right?
Yeah.
You're going to invite us to the party when
absolutely.
You get... All right.
So, yeah, we definitely will. We're trying to make that old brown ship pretty again.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, yeah.
All right, we have no citizens to make comments. Discussion session. I'd just like to add on to what you just said, and do you have some background that we should know of in terms of, okay, I didn't want to...
No, I assume I know nothing.
Okay.
Yes, I mean, Pat did provide some training, but it was basically giving me the binder and walking through some of the statutes, some of the requirements of the job, but no, you can assume I know nothing, so.
Well,
I did go through it. I did read it in detail. I read the variance request. I went back and read the statute, and I drove by the property, and I felt like, okay, unless I'm missing something, it looks like it's specific to this type of property, the way that it's laid out. But I get your point, too, that you have to be careful in being too vague.
Mm-hmm.
Because then that creates a potential for a loophole for someone else to...
Right. And it's not so unique here to have unique property.
That's right.
Things.
Right.
I mean, that's, everybody has some, the shoreline or whatever that...
Right.
Well, as George said, we have, and I've been on the commission for a long time now, and we forever have really tried hard to stay away from the word precedent. Because, I used to live in Berkeley Walk, and if there was a variance request there and you approve it, the homes are already fitting within a certain, most of them within a certain, mm-hmm. certain guidelines, so you might have a hard time then telling the next person no.
Right.
But in this case, everything we hear has different considerations. I mean, we just... Mm-hmm. I just can't even think of anything that was close to something else we heard earlier that press. So we're just always, we always remind each other that
I got you.
That, the next person could come in on a corner lot and want 4 feet
and
for some
no.
other reason we say no.
Right.
I mean,
so,
in my short tenure, really the only pushback that has come from us is that, does it have to be that long? Or does it have to be that large, the deck, or do you need to make the waterway a little bit wider than what you had originally planned? I mean, that's kind of the type of things that I think we've approved something that is doable for them, and then maybe, but in this case,
right.
It is what it is.
And when we do approvals, we're allowed to stipulate just about anything. Mm-hmm. If you stand on your head in the corner for 5 minutes, then you can have the approval.
I guess that's what you're saying.
Well, maybe not.
We could have said
it has
to be a foot narrower because, right. then it would encroach 1 foot less. I mean, we could do that,
right.
but I mean,
right.
that doesn't, in
doesn't
this particular
sense.
Case, it doesn't make sense. But in,
yeah.
And I remember there was one where there was a waterway intrusion that we did mm-hmm. ask and then stipulate that they had to leave a certain open
right.
space.
Yeah.
Have there been circumstances where you felt like, as a group, you need to go out and walk the property, or is that more?
Well, we're not allowed to do that, right? We're not allowed.
Not
to...
without permission.
Well,
no, but I thought we couldn't meet.
Oh, not
we can't
no,
with
no, no, no.
them. But I'm saying, like, let's
no,
say they came.
No, but us as a group,
we can't
oh,
have more than
okay.
three of us.
Oh, it's a quorum.
I don't even know if we can go to a party together. Can we? I don't think we can talk
I don't know if I want to go to a party
yes.
with you.
Brandon and I did joke about that at the training. I said, okay, so if we see each other at 4th of July, I'm going to turn around this way and go that way. You're going to go that way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was just curious if that had ever come up where you didn't have maybe enough information and you felt like you needed to go.
We've got drawings and pictures always.
While I haven't done that, I suppose I could envision sometime, somewhere in the future, such a convoluted thing that we would make the decision here and make maybe, I don't know, a motion or an agreement that we would continue on with the meeting at the site.
I got you. Well, you could further inspect it.
I could see something like that. Seems kind of rare.
In theory, two people could go together, right?
Yes.
Because it's three or more. We can't have three
right.
or more.
Three or more
but
is a quorum. Mm-hmm.
Two people could go together.
Right.
We're not supposed to discuss it with the homeowner, although that's a little difficult because sometimes you're trying to get an explanation for
right.
for what's going on. But I don't know. We used to go visit as a group all the time, but that was before Pat came in and laid down the law and
right.
told us the way it was supposed to be. We were just
the
we were flying by the seat
for
of
a
our
while.
Pants.
Well, I know the neighborhoods. So I live in Miramont, and I know all we have our own architectural review committee, and they will physically come out, walk the property. They want to see measurements. That's why I asked. Yeah. I just was curious.
Yeah. And you're different because you're a private organization.
That's
and you're not subject to the state
right.
Open
right.
Meetings Act.
Are you going to go to that training that they have?
Yes.
I think that was excellent, I thought.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a much broader, it's very interesting. I mean, 90% doesn't pertain to Berkeley Lake, but it's the city planning type of thing inside,
right.
You know, what size parking garages you're going to build and so forth.
And that's another thing that we always remind ourselves too, because we had a commissioner who felt like we were serving as an architectural review, and so that person was always bringing up the aesthetics, always, and so we were kind of having to
gotcha.
Remind each other that, you know, that's not our function, really.
Gotcha.
Particularly on incorporated area, where if I want to go paint my house purple with big pink balloons on it,
right.
I can. Yeah.
And then there's another problem. When we add these stipulations, we don't really have an enforcement mechanism for the stipulations.
Okay.
So there is, when you go up past, when you go up North Berkeley Lake and you pass Lakeshore,
mm-hmm.
there's a home there on the left that has a big play set
mm-hmm.
that's right on the edge of the road.
Right.
And we approved it with the condition that they were going to build, they said they would build a nice screening shrubbery stuff, and there's a couple ratty down azaleas or something that are doing nothing.
Right.
So it's just something for us to remember when we think we're actually accomplishing something with the stipulations. And even like the big house on the back that we approved, their little portico share that infringed on the 65 feet, and you guys came up with a good idea of burying the rain barrels and everything. Do we even know if they did it?
They did. They have installed the flow wells.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
But your point's still well taken, because
right.
the other part is, I don't know, you know, it's what does 11 feet versus 11 and a half feet versus 10 feet look like side, encroachment when you don't even have, you know, anything that tells you where the property lines are. So,
So I guess to your point, there's not necessarily a follow up. Or an enforcement. I mean, I guess if a neighbor complained and
if a neighbor complains, then we could actually go through the enforcement mechanism.
Right.
It's a little easier when there's a permit involved.
Ah. Okay.
Like in the case of the 380 Lakeshore, there's a building permit. I can make sure that condition is in compliance through the through that permit mechanism, because I can hold up.
Right.
You know, the work on that property or the certificate of occupancy, you know, in order to do that. In the case of the playset, there was no permit involved, and the only enforcement mechanism would probably be to take them to municipal court to do that. And
it's funny you bring that up, though, because we drive by that all the time. And my son, he's 6, and he thinks it's like the playground. He's like, can we go play on the playground? I'm like, no, that belongs to somebody.
You should knock on the door. That might actually encourage them to put shrubs out.
The background on that one, though, was that their backyard just falls off.
Right.
So there was no place, really, for them to put a playset.
Right.
And one of the things that we always kind of talk about is, do you have, I don't want to call it a right, but what do you want to say? Like when we approve that garage up front because there's no place else.
Maybe an expectation.
Yeah.
No alternative.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a justified expectation
right.
to be able to have a two-car garage?
Okay.
Well, this person came in requesting like 3, and we only approved 2. Because we said, we'll give you the expectation that you should be able to build a 2-car garage, but not a 3-car garage, right?
That was exactly right.
That makes sense.
He only needed a 2-car garage, but he was smart. He asked for a 3, because he figured he'd fix it.
That is pretty smart.
All right, next time I'm coming in with a 4,
right.
See what happens.
If you need a 3, go find a different property.
Yeah, so. Ask for more than what you want, so hopefully you can negotiate down.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, there. I guess one thing that road to Hades is paved with good intentions. One intention that I've had personally for several years and will continue to have it, and when I retire I'll have the time to do it, is actually the other part of the function of the Planning and Zoning Commission, not only just sitting here acting like a variance request cop, but rather, you know, see if there's something we can do that adds value to make the community a better place to live in. You know, how do we make recommendations to city council to change ordinances or to add ordinances that would improve the quality of life in this community?
But it'd be more on a proactive rather than reactive. That makes sense.
But life gets in the way, and you work, I work, we got kids, next thing you know.
But that's a good point, because I think that's also one of the things that we are not supposed to think about, well, what's the difference between 65 and 61 feet? You know, it doesn't make a difference. I mean, if that's wrong, then it's the city council that should change the ordinances. Mm-hmm. If that doesn't, then we have to have a reason for why a variance is...
Right.
Grand.
Because we're not here to change what the ordinances are. We can make a recommendation that they look at them. Right.
Well, and we can make recommendations, understanding that they're really busy with the day-to-day running of the city, and they don't really have the time usually to go into to start to think planning and think years down the road. And we have had a few things that we've hashed over here and then taken over there that were changes. And one of them was the, which we're going to have to revisit here, is the, what do we call it? Like in-law suite.
Yeah, the accessory
dwelling units.
Accessory dwellings, and, you know, so everybody's getting older and assisted living's getting priced out of my stratosphere anyway.
For sure. And I want to build a tiny house in my backyard.
I do too. My wife doesn't want my mom in our house. So she said, you build something behind the house. I said, I don't think we're allowed to.
So, sometimes that's too close.
And my wife is very sweet. Right? My mom is the problem. It's not my wife.
I was going to say, if you build a tiny house, does that mean you have to go in the tiny house and your mom gets your house? Or?
I've been in the doghouse plenty of times, so that works for me.
It's all the same.
I'm going to put my mom on a boat and just push it off into the middle of the lake.
Sounds like my mother.
All right. Any other things to discuss? Anybody want to discuss anything? But
just welcome.
Yes.
I'm George Kavizak.
Nice to meet you, George. I'm Robin Sansone. Okay. My background, I'm a CPA, so I do tax work. So I don't have planning and zoning.
No, but you have an eye for detail.
Yes. And, I like to think so.
Yeah. Your clients hope so,
yes,
for sure.
Yes.
And you're kind of working on the, your domain is kind of the edge of the law, just like here.
No comment.
So the way it works, and we haven't done this for a couple of years, but we used to do it, is if you've got an issue, an ordinance you don't like or you'd like to see changed, or you know that you're going to need an accessory dwelling or whatever, if you send a message to Pat, it'll get on here as new business, and it'll at least get the ball rolling
to discuss it,
and eventually we get to the point where we have something that we think makes sense for the city, and we take it over, and they vote it down 5-0. Oh, did I say that out loud? No, these are new people. They won't vote us down 5-0 next time.
That'll be 3-2.
What about all the discussion over the years with the traffic and those kind of, like the speed bumps, and that's not planning and zoning? Is that city council?
That's county roads.
Okay.
Yeah, we can't do much about traffic because the roads that it's on are controlled by Gwinnett County.
I was just curious if that's how
that I was going to smack Lois over the head about those, but she said it's not her fault.
So. She does what she can.
I gave grief to Alan Chapman about those things. They cheaped out the county. They did not buy enough property to put in proper roundabouts.
I mean, they're a joke. I mean, everybody who comes and visits and who says, you know, wonders what they are. I've never seen anything like that.
Okay. I'm going to tell you, like everything, there's another perspective, all right? I live on the corner there, mm-hmm. all right? And I'm telling you, and when I had little kids, cars were coming down 60 miles an hour from Peachtree Industrial all the way down to the bottom of the dam. Yeah. And once they put in those stupid undersized right. traffic circles and that stop sign, it is totally different. I don't mind.
So it did work partially. It's don't tell me I had to apologize.
It is. It's like if I had, I don't have a 5-year-old anymore, but if I did and they were going up there, I would not be worried.
I have no complaints about the problem and that something should be done. Right. It's just what was done was not, in my mind,
was halfway. Appropriate.
I mean, that's. Yeah. I mean, you can put stop signs and speed bumps and all that, but not these roundabouts that are.
Oh, no, I actually like the roundabouts.
I do that too. That's
it's the only roundabout in the world that has a stop sign.
Well,
one up there at the roundabout.
Yeah, well, that's because the roundabout's too small. Right, it's ineffective. I'm a civil engineer, so by education. Can't say I was a transportation engineer, though.
Yeah, the people in Hermitage.
Now, you're talking about these things that, so.
They at least, they slow the 60-mile-an-hour people down to 30, which is helpful. Because mm-hmm. they used to fly through the stop sign because they were going too fast. That right. stop sign's in a weird place at Lakeshore.
Yes.
And
yes.
so people would fly through it before they'd even see it. Now, they still, once in a while, they go flying through it. But usually, I think that's intentional.
It was many years ago, the stop sign off Lakeshore Drive coming onto North Berkeley Lake. I came there and I was coming towards the City Hall direction and there was a cop sitting there mm-hmm. on Lakeshore Drive. And I see the cop, I look at him, I stop, move on, he comes after me. He stops me and says, you didn't stop. I said, I mean, I stopped, I looked you in the eye, you know, I stopped. I looked at your wheels, they didn't stop.
Did you get a ticket?
Yeah, so I was like doing 1 mile an hour.
He gave you a ticket?
No, he looked, and I bet you that he looked at my driver's license, and because I was local, he didn't get it. That's my take on it.
Probably.
I also was very courteous towards him, and I said, and if he used some judgment, he also saw, you know, what pace I was driving and so
right.
forth. But, I mean, it was funny because, I mean, I had made eye contact with him. And,
you should have said, I'm going to be looking at my wheels.
And he's right. He was right that, you know, I did not stop.
A California roll.
Technically, yeah. It wasn't anything close to even that. It was, you know,
it wasn't a
1 mile an hour. Mm. But when you think about it, this is on the outside of that T intersection. I mean, there's no reason for a stop sign there.
Yeah.
I mean, you shouldn't go fast, but there's no reason for a stop sign. As far as from a safety perspective.
That stop sign at our neighborhood at Miramont is terrible. Nobody stops at that. So even to the point where you're trying to get into the neighborhood, if you're making a left from Peachtree Industrial into the neighborhood, people coming out of the city, they don't even stop. Huh.
I always stop.
I'm
always.
Sure.
Oh, that one, yeah, the one on
I
North
almost
North
never stop.
That's
right.
I have given to the building fund.
I mean, I have my blinker on and everything,
times.
And I'm like, okay.
I mean, I've always thought that would
I've
be a very,
warnings,
very
yeah.
effective place to collect some money. I mean,
yes.
because it's
there's a cop in my driveway on a regular basis because that's where they park right up at the top of my driveway. And they're about 50 feet from
where
that
do
intersection.
Where
it is.
Well, my kids, when they were taking the school bus on, and they're stopping on North Berkeley Lake, getting ready to turn on Peachtree Industrial,
right.
they were counting
Pat,
how many cars
home,
go through the red lights,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
in front of the school bus.
Going
you know,
south,
so south of Peachtree Industrial. The record is set.
Okay.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Move. Now we can continue the conversation.
Oh, that's true. We got all recorded here, this our discussions.
It's all right. We didn't badmouth anybody.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
So, Dan,
thanks, Pat.
Are you a pilot with Delta?
Mm-hmm.
I saw your shirt. So.